Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. Turns out that Nintendo has apologized for not having already introduced homosexual characters into one of their role-playing games. And now Catwoman has come out. This is at DC Comics. She's come out as bisexual. You know, what's interesting is that we're told through the media in our universities that homosexuals are born that way. But with lesbians, it's called a lifestyle choice. As recently on NPR, National Public Radio, lesbians, it's a choice. But with when they're talking about males, I mean, they're both homosexuals, right? Lesbians attracted to the same sex, that's homosexuality. But they say males are born that way. Lesbians, it's a lifestyle choice. And they want us to believe that gender is nurture, not nature. Gender, so get that. To be a liberal, you have to believe that gender, whether someone is a male or a female, that that's environmental, that that's nurture, that you're not born that way. Gender is instilled, but homosexuality is genetic. Is that too much? That gender is nurture, but homosexuality is nature. That's what you have to believe to be a liberal, like a lot of other. Well, the internet is interesting because an article will come out and it'll make quite a splash and then it'll have a new life cycle. And that's happening with an article by a Mark Ellis on identical twin studies prove homosexuality is not genetic. And this caused quite an uproar when it came out in 2013. And for some reason, a couple significant websites in Israel have just picked up on this again. And so it's going all over the internet. And one of our listeners in Canada sent us this earlier today. So I asked one of our producers if he could try to track down Mark Ellis, who wrote this article about the research from a Dr. Neil Whitehead and many studies of identical twins, international studies. And so I'm so thankful that we tracked down Mark Ellis. Mark, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you very much.
Your website is godreports.com. And so your article, boy, you caused quite an uproar with this article, Mark. And so if you and I could talk through it, and then maybe in a few minutes we'll find out about your background and your website.
Thank you.
So the headline, Identical Twin Studies Prove Homosexuality Is Not Genetic. Could you tell us about this?
Well, there is this popular notion in the culture that homosexuals are born that way. There is scientific evidence to the contrary that I think is noteworthy. Based on a number of identical twin studies that were done in several countries throughout the world, starting in the early 90s and until the early 2000s. And all of those studies really come to the same conclusion, if you look at the data they collect, is that homosexuality cannot be genetic.
And these studies, you write about 8 major studies of identical twins in Australia, the U.S., and Scandinavia. And then there are others undoubtedly ongoing as enormous databases are being built of identical twins and fraternal twins. But the conclusion of these studies, even though for some, if not all of the studies, the authors of the studies are pro-homosexual. They're not anti-homosexual. So in a sense, this is testimony contrary to interest or contrary to bias, because if anything, their bias tells them that the culture is right, that homosexuals are born that way, but their studies are coming out with the opposite conclusion.
That's right. And these are not small studies. Some of these databases have as many as 25,000 identical twins in them. So, you know, the results are really very conclusive that Dr. Neil Whitehead came up with in studying all this. He actually wrote a book on the subject. He has a PhD in biochemistry and statistics, has worked for the New Zealand government as a scientific researcher, also for the UN and the International Atomic Energy Agency. So he's a serious scientific researcher. He's not coming at it as a Christian activist, but as a scientist, just looking at the numbers.
Yeah, and Mark, we're speaking with Mark Ellis, who wrote the article, Identical Twin Studies Prove Homosexuality is Not Genetic. This article has been shared on Facebook thousands of times and repeated on countless websites. In fact, it was difficult to track down where the article originated, Mark, because so many websites simply paste, you know, they post your article and it's by Mark Ellis. And it's like, who in the world is Mark Ellis? And so this Dr. Neil Whitehead that you're talking about, yeah, PhD in biochemistry, as far as scientists goes, he's a heavy hitter. He's currently working for the Japanese government to evaluate the effects of radiation exposure.
Right.
So, and his PhD, like you said, is in biochemistry and statistics, which really makes him well suited to analyze this controversy.
Mm-hmm. I think the first thing to establish for people to realize is that identical twins have the same genes or DNA. And so if homosexuality is something that is inherited through the genes, if one identical twin is homosexual, you would expect the other one also to be homosexual, so that it should be 100% of the time. But he found something very different in the numbers.
Mm. To quote Dr. Neil Whitehead from your article, he says, at best, genetics is a minor factor. Because these twins have identical DNA, if sexual orientation were genetic, then we ought to see a 100% correspondence or thereabouts. If an identical twin has same-sex attraction, the chances the co-twin, the other twin, has this same-sex attraction are only about 11% for men and 14% for women. And there were significant studies that showed that it's even lower than that.
Right. There was another study done in 2002 that showed an even weaker genetic correlation. A study done by Behrman and Bruckner, who actually had a pro-gay agenda in doing this study, but they found out the correlation was only 7% for men and 5% for females.
And this was a significant twin study among adolescents.
Adolescent students in the U.S.
In 2002. So it showed an even weaker genetic correlation than this summary results up above. So if it's as low as 7.7 for males, well, you know, about 8% and about 5% for females, that means the vast majority of identical twins don't share this homosexual orientation. Mark Ellis, could you tell us about yourself and GodReports.com? What an interesting name for a website. But maybe first about yourself. I know that you went to UC Berkeley and you graduated with a degree in business. So what was that all about, and how'd you end up writing about Christian issues?
Well, I was not a Christian at Berkeley. I was actually drawn by Eastern mysticism. I went to see Baba Ram Dass when he came to Berkeley. One of my favorite spiritual guides was a book he wrote called Be Here Now. Hmm. And in college, one little side note, my freshman year, Patty Hearst was kidnapped from the apartment complex next door to where I lived.
Oh, my. Wow.
And the Symbionese Liberation Army, a radical group at the time, there was actually quite a bit of popular support for her in Berkeley. And the night...
What do you mean for her? Popular support?
For the SLA, her kidnappers.
For her kidnappers, right.
Yes.
I almost... Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the night that the head of the kidnappers... a man named Sin Q was killed in L.A. by an L.A. SWAT team. I was studying at the law library, and the night Sin Q was killed, somebody spray-painted in red paint, long live the SLA, long live Sin Q. So it was a strange place in some respects culturally to go to school.
Yeah, well, you're reinforcing the Berkeley stereotype,
yeah,
for which we appreciate that, Mark, because it's valid. It's a valid stereotype.
Yeah, I didn't find Christ until I was 29, and that was a result of reading Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell.
Oh, what a great book, huh? I've read that also. Highly recommend it. In fact, I think it's on our Bob and Yurt Live reading list. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We've been on the radio in Denver for 24 years. And, yeah, Josh McDowell has done such a wonderful job assembling the evidence for the confidence that we could place in the scriptures and especially in the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yes, it's a fantastic book. Mm. My vision for God Reports came from a mission trip to the southern Philippines in 2004 to visit two Wycliffe Bible translators our church had supported for over 40 years. And I saw firsthand that they lived in a house that was smaller than my two-car garage. They had to be evacuated from that house several times due to either communist threats or Muslim threats. The wife had overcome cancer. Oh, their son had become paralyzed due to a fall from a tree when they started their second translation. So I saw all these hurdles, obstacles they had to overcome to bring this precious gift to these two tribal groups, which was the Bible in their own heart language.
Mm.
And as I was flying home on the plane, it hit me that I could write a story about them, but how many thousands of other missionaries are there around the world with similar stories? And so I started to dream about creating a website that I call God Reports to feature stories from missionaries and mission organizations to help inspire people to get further involved in missions. But we also have other stories of general interest to Christians, such as this one you spotted about homosexuality and genetics. So we cover a fairly broad subject matter,
mm-hmm.
but the main focus for me in creating God Reports is to spur greater missions involvement by Christians.
Our church, in the last 3 weeks, we had missionaries to the Dominican Republic visit us at Denver Bible Church. That was a thrill. We've supported, we're a small church, a homeschool church, about maybe 70 people on a Sunday. We just got our own property just 3 weeks ago, so instead of renting, so Lord willing, we'll grow now. But we had our missionaries from Costa Rica visit a number of times, from the Philippines, and we're just so thrilled with the continued outreach of the gospel around the world. In mm-hmm. fact, Mark, this summer I went on a trip with the Discovery Institute in Seattle, a cruise to Alaska. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're the intelligent design folks.
Okay.
And they're Christian, but they're not creationist, but they oppose Darwinism.
Mm-hmm.
So on that cruise, I met two Wycliffe translators who have spent decades in the Philippines, Rundel and Judy Mari, M-A-R-E-E, and they have lived with a tribe, about 400 people who spoke a very unique language, and they created their dictionary, their grammar. They taught them to read and write then, and now this is a generation and a half, two generations later, and there are Christians on that island. So many of them have become Christians who their kids have grown up to actually get educated and have careers and dramatically raise the standard of living for these people who they lived with and loved now for, I think it's over 30 years.
Mm, that's wonderful.
Yeah, what an extraordinary thing for people to dedicate their lives to love others and share the love of Jesus Christ with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could get back to your article, Mark.
Yeah.
So when twins are identical and they're registered, these twin registries are really extraordinary. Many nations have them. There's a gigantic one being created in Europe, mm-hmm. where they say they'll have hundreds of thousands of twins listed in this modern registry. It's about 600,000 members they project. But if homosexuality is not genetic, then Dr. Whitehead, as we've pointed out here at Bob and Yurt Live, point to other factors that could relate to why someone becomes a homosexual.
He maintains that it has to be in that they're nurtured in the same prenatal environment, have the same genes. If only 11%, somewhere between 8 and 11% of the men become homosexual, it has to be something related to post-birth factors. It can't be hormones in the prenatal environment. It can't be the genes. So it has to be something in the environment that affects one twin but not the other.
Well, and over the years, we've had a number of homosexuals on this program, especially in the first couple decades of the show. A lot of debates with homosexuals. When a homosexual activist in Denver, John Hackney, was dying of AIDS in the hospital, Karen Morrissey, his co-producer of the Lambda Report, called me, asked me to pray for John because he was dying. And so as you get to know, even if they're aggressive homosexual activists, you get to know them, you talk to them, and when their guard is down and you're just having a conversation, I've often asked the same question to many homosexuals. I've asked, when was your first sexual experience? And Mark, when they tell their story, invariably the men, they talk about early sexual encounters with older either men or older teenagers. So you have 17, 18, 19, 20s or 30 or 40 year old men having some kind of a sexual activity with boys who are 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. And so they weren't recognizing it as they're telling their story, but they were being inducted into the homosexual lifestyle by older homosexuals.
Well, there's an extraordinarily high number of lesbian women who have been had sexual abuse at the hands of a male figure in their life.
Right.
And
right.
And I believe there are also some, you know, fairly significant numbers of gay men who have had abuse of some kind.
Well, and child abuse, when you look at it from the other perspective, the a very small percentage of boys who get molested sexually are molested by women.
Mm-hmm.
About a third of the kids who are molested are boys.
Mm-hmm.
About a third of the children molested are boys, and the vast majority of them are molested by men. And so that tells us that, of course, homosexual child molestation, from the highest perspective of a vantage point of what's happening, is it's a way that young men are being they're being seduced into homosexuality. In your article, you point out that one twin might have had exposure to pornography and not the other. And of course, people are individuals, and they might interpret the same exact circumstance as one might interpret it sexually, the other may not.
Right. It could be, you know, Neil Whitehead speculates on what some of these environmental factors could be. Sexual abuse does seem to be one that is shared by many, but it could be other traumatic influences in their life, in the family or in the classroom or wherever it might be, that where one twin faces that exposure or responds differently to it than the other.
Well, and so often we have a video that we distribute through our store at kgov.com of Such Were Some of You, and fabulous, fabulous documentary. And there's another theme where men had fathers who were absent or extremely weak.
Mm-hmm.
And they craved male. They craved love from a male father figure, and so they became especially vulnerable to predators.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another example.
Well, it's interesting, this sort of wounding by a father figure, whether it's due to abuse or absence, creates a void in a young person's life.
Mm.
And some of them may act out inappropriately in the sexual area. Some may do that with substance abuse, trouble with school or the police. But you see all these different ways that people act out, that wounding that occurs in an early age. And I think that's part of what may be in play here.
And then Dr. Whitehead points out that there's so much fluidity, changes in a person's sexual identity when it comes to homosexuality. We should talk about that. But first, let me remind the audience, we've had a debate, a number of debates, one with a leading homosexual activist, Wayne Besson. And you could get that at our website, kgov.com/homosexuality. Then there was a front page Newsweek story by one of their journalists, Lisa Miller. And we had Miller on this show. And she was saying that the Bible did not speak against lesbianism, homosexuality between women. And it was wild, Mark, because Romans chapter 1 could not be more explicit,
right,
in the condemnation of lesbian behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa Miller does this article about homosexual marriage and states that the Bible never addresses the topic of lesbianism or women with women, and how she could possibly put that in an article and how it could get past their editors at Newsweek. But basically, they wanted to say that the Bible is a bigoted book, and so therefore it can't be trusted. So they made up that that claim about it. But
yes,
how about this aspect of the change in whether someone self-identifies as homosexual or heterosexual? That's a huge issue.
Well, I think Dr. Whitehead was surprised at how fluid sexual identity can be, particularly among adolescents, where adolescents may experiment or have a crush, so to speak, on someone of the same sex. But often they move beyond that within a matter of a few years. And what Dr. Whitehead found was the way things gravitate is always more toward a stable heterosexual identification and less toward the homosexual orientation.
Hmm. So you quote him writing that sexual orientation is not set in concrete. About half of the homosexual bisexual population moves toward heterosexuality over a lifetime, about half. And about 3% of the present heterosexual population once firmly believed themselves to be homosexual or bisexual. So those are significant numbers. Then when it comes to adolescents, as you just pointed out, in this Bierman and Bruckner study from 2002, and this was a study where the authors self-identify as, you know, pro-homosexual, they pointed out that from 16-year-old to 17-year-olds, if they had some kind of a homosexual attraction, almost all, the vast majority, had switched within a year, by 1 year later, to a heterosexual orientation.
I think most people would be surprised by that. And Bierman and Bruckner, as I stated earlier, had a pro-gay orientation in the study. So, you know, it probably came as some kind of a surprise to them. But yeah, there is a remarkable fluidity that can be seen in these studies.
Mm. And so in the intro, Mark Ellis, we're speaking with the author of a very popular online article about 8 major studies of identical twins in Australia, the U.S., and Scandinavia. The author of the article is Mark Ellis. Identical twin studies prove homosexuality is not genetic. So, Mark, in the intro, You may have heard the few comments I made about gender and homosexuality and lesbianism. Have you noticed that when the culture talks about women, lesbians, they use the phrase lifestyle choice? Have you heard that? Have you noticed that?
I was very fascinated with your introduction there, because I'm less familiar with this aspect of it.
Yeah, we've been reporting on this since 1991 on the air. It's been one of our half a dozen major issues that we often come back to. And so, yeah, it's almost the rule that we're not told that lesbians are born that way. Lesbianism is a lifestyle choice. But yet when they're talking, when the culture, when National Public Radio is talking about men, they say that homosexuals are born that way. And so when you try to think through, well, what might lead to that peculiar and contradictory explanation of justification, it seems that the culture is very uncomfortable with men being intimate in any way, very uncomfortable. So that it could kill a movie or a TV series. Of course, Hollywood has been encroaching on that and undermining our physical reaction that's designed to protect us from things that are wrong. But there's a billion-dollar industry on the other side of that perspective. There's a billion-dollar porn industry that promotes lesbianism.
Mm-hmm.
And so the culture, an anti-biblical, anti-Christian culture, recognizes that they could sell lesbianism more easily. And so they could sell it as a lifestyle choice, encouraging young girls like Planned Parenthood does, the students here in the Rocky Mountain region, encouraging them to experiment with lesbianism.
Mm-hmm.
They even said, if I think I might be a lesbian, but I don't know what to do, go ahead and try it out. Whereas the culture is not quite as willing to consider. You know, we have to sort of blame it on somebody, so they say they're born that way. And then go ahead.
Yeah, one sad thing is there are unfortunately high numbers of Christian men who have addictions to pornography.
Yes, right.
And I believe that weakens your perspective on some of these matters, such as lesbianism.
Absolutely. And then that gender, you know, they say that you could take a little boy, an infant, and raise him as a girl. Because they say gender is not genetic, it's environmental. And so they actually want us to believe that gender is environmental, but homosexuals were born that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the most astounding detachment from reality.
Yes.
So, Mark Ellis, what an honor. The website is godreports.com. We have 10 seconds, Mark. How's the website doing?
We had our biggest year last year with 860,000 page views. I was thrilled by that.
Well, that's great. Well, we'll link to it in today's show summary. We'll keep that in our archives. And what an honor to get to meet you, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Mark Ellis, godreports.com. Hey, we got great producers here. They tracked down Mark. Good job. God bless you guys.